How are the kids, CeeLo? All right?
Oh, you know, crazy as usual.
Yeah.
Keeping me busy, as yours are as well, I'm sure.
And you got out of fantasy football this year.
Yeah, well, I got roped into a league with my neighbors, which was fine. Then I learned that the entry fee was $300, which is like triple what our league is here.
That wasn't part of the conversation before?
No, it was not. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll join the league. I figured, you know, it was just a standard fantasy
league.
Winner
take all?
They have there's a head-to-head pot and then a season-long points pot. So there's multiple ways to win some scratch.
Did you do your draft yet?
No, it's actually tonight.
Oh, good luck.
Yes, thank you. They're doing it in Atlantic City. I will be doing it remotely. No AC for me.
Oh, they're down in AC?
Yeah, yeah.
They're having a big party.
They are.
And you're not
no
part
party
of
for
it.
Me. No,
no. Did you even ask your wife about that?
I didn't have to. I mean, I'm working. I got stuff to do later.
That's a great life experience,
yes,
though.
Oh, yes.
And
of course.
You bailed on that to make sure it worked.
I don't know about bailed on it, but...
Well, you said thanks, but no thanks.
Not available. Not available.
Yeah, I mean, you're a hard worker.
Wife and kids are down in Ocean City, New Jersey with the in-laws. I missed that this week as well. So I've been sick. It's been a great week, Moose. You know, it's a great way to end summer.
I know. I saw CeeLo in the newsroom. I went to go give him a hug. He's like, please don't touch me. I'm like,
no, that's not. No. I said, you don't want to touch. I've been sick. I don't want to get you sick.
Let me finish the point. I've been sick. I was like, yeah, I do not want what you have.
That's right.
That's right. Well, good luck with your draft tonight.
Appreciate that.
Sounds like it's going to be a blast.
You're
doing remote.
Me sitting at home and everyone else in AC. Good
no
to
doubt.
See you as always, Moose.
Pleasure's mine. Let's head out to New Hyde Park. It's Howard. It's the fan. What's going on, Howard?
Hey, Moose. Great show.
Thanks, Howard. What's on your mind, buddy?
So I've been a Cowboys fan for 45 years.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I'm okay with this trade. It sounds crazy, but I think the downfall was when Micah started going on social media, you know, months ago and started talking and being very boisterous. And Jerry wants to be the voice of the team. He doesn't want anybody else trying to steal his, you know, his steam and everything. And once he started going on all the podcasts and talking his junk, I think it started going downhill from there. And to tell you the truth, I mean, if you look at the big games he played in, even in the playoffs, he didn't come up big. These teams schemed for him, and he didn't produce. He was almost non-existent, in that last game, in that last playoff game.
Well, Howard, let me ask you, do you think the fact that his presence on the field opens things up for other people?
Yes and no. Yes, I think sometimes he's out there just trying to get his numbers, and he was out there when the rumble was so bad last year.
What's it going to feel like if the Packers win the Super Bowl this year?
To tell you the truth, we weren't winning the Super Bowl either.
Well, it doesn't matter. When you trade, because you go through the draft to get players of the caliber of Micah Parsons. Do you not? Like, and when you have that individual in the fold, now you're trying to rationalize it out. I mean, Howard, you're looking at it, and, you know, you're Jerry's dream. You're a Cowboy fan that say, okay, there's a lot of Cowboy fans that are depressed. I think there's a lot of people in the NFC East, whether you're a Giant fan, Washington fan, Philadelphia fan, that celebrates and say, oh, great, that headache is no longer in our division, having to deal with number 11 wearing a Cowboys jersey. I mean, that's the way I look at it. You want to say, well, you could look at the 4 years and, you know, he didn't come up big in big moments, big games. Okay. Tell me how life's going to be easier, because all I do know now is that Kenny Clark is basically the best run-stuffing defensive tackle the NFL's ever seen, based on what I listened to last night from Jerry and Stephen Jones. Now, they didn't say, quote-unquote, that very fact, but they're going to be able to stop the run now because of Kenny Clark. A lot of pressure on him. Let's head out to Watchung, New Jersey. It's Sam. It's the fan. What's going on, Sammy?
Good morning, Moose.
Good morning.
Pleasure to talk to you again. I talked to you quite some time ago.
Pleasure's all mine, Sam. What's on your mind?
My doggies might start barking. Okay, my man. Anthony Volpe, right? Now, did you watch the game last night?
I did see the highlight. I was at the Rutgers game, but I did watch
the
condensed version, yes.
Well, here's my take with Mr. Volpe. Yeah, he's really having a hard time at the plate, but in the field, he's been very good, and he made really great plays yesterday. But the one ever he made cost the Yankees 4 runs. It's just the way things happen in baseball. The play in question is, it was the grounder up the middle, right? He kind of didn't catch it right, and then he knew not to throw it. I think the actual second base threw him off.
The second baseman threw him off, or the second base bag?
No. The second base bag, yes, sir.
I gotcha.
Just that little. I'm just saying. I think it happened because it. So he made unbelievable backhand plays going towards third base, towards the outfield, and he got them both. My thing is, I think his stick is going to come around because he's not that bad of a hitter. It's just going through it in his head. And he hasn't made an error until yesterday, and it wasn't a throwing error.
I mean, Sam, can I ask you a question, though? How long do you wait? Like, how long do you wait? How long, like, when does the patience run out? And when do you look at and say, well, you know, he's too good of a hitter. He's got to be better than this. Like, when do you say, okay, well it's a lost season? Like, how much patience do you say?
No, I think he's going to get some big hits for the Yankees going forward, and I don't think he's going to have a problem in the infield going forward.
Sam, listen, I wish I had your confidence.
And there is one more thing. Can you let me say one more thing about Chris McMonagle?
Yeah.
He owes, you know, he told a story, and I heard it twice, in Vegas, where he bumped into you. And the rest, I mean, I can't, you know, tell the story.
Okay.
Isn't that true or no?
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, you know the story, not me.
Yeah, no, I've told that story before, yeah. I don't know what we're, it's like, was that a gotcha moment? I don't know. Like, Chris is not lying, yes. I was in Vegas with myself, Monzo, Licata, and Giannotti. Monzo bumped into McMonagle, I think, at Pure Nightclub. I had to carry Licata basically back to the room to put him to bed. Then I came down at like 2:30 in the morning and met McMonagle, and then helped him get an internship here at WFAN. So yeah, I don't know what version of the story, I don't know what he added to it, but people have referenced that before, and I've told that story before on the line as well, on the air as well. But yeah, all that's true. That's a long time ago. I think that was the trip that Licata and I have a picture with Manute Bol, amazingly enough, at Pure Nightclub in Vegas. I think it's Caesars. It's strange, right? Odd one. But yeah, there was Manute Bol, who had little to no interest of taking a picture with us. But we snapped it anyway. We got that picture anyway. Mario, Staten Island, God rest his soul. What's going on, Mario?
Mark, what's happening, man? How are you?
Good, Mario. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Listen, I wanted to comment just even with what the other guy said. You know, I'm a Cowboy fan too, 45 years. And, you know, I tell you, I kind of see both sides. Like, I don't love the deal. I don't hate it. What I hate about it is who we traded him to. I hate that, you know, our picks are going to be late picks. But, you know, Mark, like, I look at it like even like with what the Pats used to do. Now, look, I know they had Tom Brady, and that's my gripe with Dallas. They're never going to win with Dak Prescott. But the Patriots wouldn't pay anybody, and I just don't think in the league today you can. I don't think that you can pay three guys top dollar and expect to win in this league. Like and again, don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing to the Patriots. I'm not, and that's why the Pats did it, because they had Tom Brady. And again, we're not going to win ever with Dak Prescott. But you know, when you're tying all your money to Lamb, Dak, and then now Parsons, then you're not left with anything. Look, next year, we have the second most cap space behind the Patriots, okay? Now, I don't know what we're going to do with it because we have two bozos running the team, running the organization, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think it was a horrendous deal, you know, but look, you're going to have to see kind of how this plays out. They weren't winning with him, and they're not going to win without him, but now you're going to have to, really work the draft.
No, Mario, that's great, but let me ask you, is Micah better at his position than Dak is at his?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Now, listen, Mark, I 100% would have, if it was me, Mark, I would have paid Parsons and Lamb. I would have let Dak go.
Right.
So, like, I have a problem with the Jones family with that.
No, and that's fair, right? That is fair when you're looking at it. And listen, it's a quarterback-driven league. You understand why they went out and paid the quarterback in Dak Prescott. I just don't like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a Cowboy fan. Didn't grow up a Dallas Cowboy fan, right? Not America's
football, I know, yeah. Kind of yeah, stuff. I know you're a Commanders
guy. But look at it this way, Mario. I don't think it's good for an NFL team to lose great players.
I agree with you there.
I don't.
I do agree with you there.
I don't think we get all excited and during the NFL draft and comps and players and all this stuff of what that individual is going to be here moving forward. And, you know, potential was realized. Micah Parsons is a difference maker. Now it's a case, and you're not alone, Mario. I had another call from a Cowboy fan saying, better off. You're calling up saying, I don't want to pay him. It's going to be very difficult to win. I would not bring, because we've gotten down this road before, and not just the Cowboys, but if you're a Cowboy, never compare yourself. Nobody should ever compare themselves or draw a comparison to what Belichick and Brady did up in New England. That was ridiculously special. And nobody's going to be able to do that again with that kind of dominance, with that kind of consistency, with that kind of business model. Salomon Alapin's up next to the fan. What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Sal, good. Doing well.
I called to talk about Rutgers. I know I'm probably the only one, but
I was at the game. Sunday Night Football. Fire away.
Yeah, I mean, the offense was better than I expected. I expected it to be good, but I was so pleasantly surprised that we were able to put up the points. But the defense is obviously a major concern. I know it's only one game. But in looking at it, and the quarterback for Ohio, Navarro, is very good. But we can't tackle. It seems to be that same, bend but don't break type offense where they get the guys across the middle that are wide open. And with every Shiano defense, we always have a problem when the quarterback is mobile. I mean, does he not, philosophy-wise, does he not need to make changes maybe in the philosophy because we're playing so many athletic quarterbacks and we seem to get burnt year after year after year? Or am I being too negative and saying, be patient, wait, the defense is going to come around?
Well, I think there's concerns on defense. I think when you had the loss of the defensive coordinator, Rob Smith now coming back as co-defensive coordinator this year, the change that you saw in the defensive secondary, Jabomi is a hell of a middle linebacker and was a tackling machine last year. I think he had 102 tackles for the Scarlet Knights and had a really good year, and they're expecting him to take a bounce forward. I would say this last night, if you go back, I think the defense is going to be a work in progress. And I do the shows with, the pre and post game with Julian Pinnock-Zadrick. JPO was a defensive end for Rutgers a number of years ago, and he's great. But watching the game with him, and looking at some of the defensive breakdowns, it's really guys due to maybe inexperience, maybe not doing what they're supposed to be doing within the defense. Not setting the edge.
You're saying there's hope.
Yeah, I mean, Sal, listen, if you're asking me right now what's going to be the driving force to Rutgers this year, it's going to be the offense. Cali McManus, who I interviewed a couple weeks ago when I was down in Piscataway, talked about the fact he's got to improve his accuracy. He did. He got playmakers at the wide receiver position. DT Sheffield showed off his speed last night. They're going to be able to replace the production of Kyle Manungai, who's now a Chicago Bear, the former Don Bosco prep star, with Campbell and obviously Antoine Raymond in that running back room. I think the offensive line is going to be good enough. I think the offense is going to be really the reason why this year. The defense, I think it's going to take a little bit of time. And there's certainly things that you need to work on following what you saw last night down in Piscataway. Let's head out to Poughkeepsie. It's Jim. It's the fan. What's going on, Jim?
What's up, Moose? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. How are you, buddy?
Good. I got to touch base on this whole Micah Parsons. I'm a Cowboy fan. I say good riddance, bro. The guy's played in 4 playoff games and recorded 1 sack.
Good riddance.
You're telling me he's a difference? You're telling me he's a difference maker. What difference has he made in the postseason? Again, 1 sack in a game.
He's the singular reason why the Cowboys lost.
Dude, 1 sack in 4 games. Can you show up in the postseason?
No, fair. I get it. How about Dak? Well, does he hold any responsibility to that?
We're not talking about Dak. We're talking about Micah Parsons.
So you're better off.
Micah Parsons has done nothing. He's done nothing in the postseason.
Neither of the Dallas Cowboys as a team.
But we're not talking about the team. We're talking about this one player right now.
Right, so you're looking at, if he had eight sacks in those four games and you still lost, you'd be upset.
But that ain't the point. The point is he did not show up. Where was he?
Why so you're happy. Havoc in the postseason?
Yesterday was a good day for Dallas.
Yes, goodbye. Goodbye. He's more worried about his
podcast. I mean, Jim, I think you're crazy. I think you're trying to rationalize it out. Goodbye to you, too, as well. Goodbye, good luck. And enjoy Micah Parsons wearing the Green Bay Packer jersey. I don't think, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I look at it and say, there's different reasons why. Guys can go out there and make an impact on a defense, too, because of the amount of coverage that they're going to get, how opposing the offensive coordinators have to make sure that they contain that individual so that individual can't wreak havoc either. Could Parsons be better in some of those games? Yeah, but you can make an argument about a lot of guys. An edge rusher that I think has got 52 sacks in 4 years in the National Football League is 26 years old, and yesterday was a good day for the Dallas Cowboys with the decision to move him to Green Bay, who's trying to win a Super Bowl this year. Okay. I mean, I guess. Let's head out to the Bronx. It's Mike. I mean, that's a take. What's going on, Mike? How are you, bud?
Hi, how are you? I love your show.
Thanks, Mike. What's on your mind, buddy?
I'm a huge Jets fan, and I'm sort of waiting to see on the Jets this year. But I do like to point out, why I could be optimistic this year. Just because, like, the biggest knock on the Jets that all experts are saying is quarterback and the receiver core. Well, you do see other teams, even the modern-day NFL, the biggest example of hope the Jets could have is the Titans in the late 2010s. You know, that Titan team had, you know, they had Derrick Henry. We have a similar back, not as good, but like a poor man's Derrick Henry, but our line is much better than theirs. The receiver core was one big A.J. Green, A.J. Brown, and a bunch of whatevers. And their defense is not as was just a good, tough defense, nothing special. But they were able to, because they played a good, tough brand of football, they were able to help their mediocre quarterback out, and they were able to have a good season and play a lot of teams that were much better than them, beat them, because they were just so tough and able to keep games close and just, you know, and will their way to a lot of wins, which they should not have won.
Are you talking about the Mariota Titans or the Tannehill
Titans? No, Tannehill Titans.
Oh, the Tannehill Titans. Okay. Tannehill was better.
I think if you're going to have hope, like, that's where you're looking, this Jets, you know, that the toughness and the inside of both sides of the ball to be able to muck up games and be able to win games, which you shouldn't win, you know, and I think that's where I think we're a Jets fan. I think that's where we have to hope. And I do want to say that, the one thing consistent you see in this team, you know, all preseason, which you have to take with a grain of salt, but they knocked everyone around inside all preseason long, starters, second team, didn't matter. They killed everyone inside all preseason long, you know, and that's just one-on-one matchups, you know, and I do think that this team does have potential to if you have hope for this team, I think that's where
you're going. I got you. Mike, you're a positive Pete. You're going into the holiday weekend, and you're very, very bullish on the New York Jets. The issue, the only, you know, knock in your argument, and you kind of said it, well, the Jets don't have Derrick Henry, and Tannehill's better than Justin Fields. And Tannehill wasn't great, and they lost their mind when they went into that playoff game and decided to basically not be themselves and wanted to have Tannehill throw the ball all over the lot, and that ended up in disaster. But, you know, put that aside. Tannehill's better than Justin Fields throwing the football. But you want to look out and say that's the way that I think there's no doubt the Jets are going to go into this season, set a tone, and want to run it.